Blog Talk Radio. Hi, this is Marnie Svedberg, and I welcome you to Marnie and Friends, a place where leaders share practical, helpful, and encouraging ways to get anything important done faster, better, and smarter. Right now, I encourage you to sit back, buckle up, and join us for fun, laughter, practical help, and clear thinking, the kind of discussion that focuses our attention off of the fluff and onto the most important stuff in life. Again, welcome to Marnie's Friends. Let's get going.
This is Marnie, and welcome back to another edition of some really practical, helpful stuff that will help your life go better in the directions that you're wanting it to go and the things you're wanting to learn. We have a wonderful guest today. Sheila Gregoire is from Canada, and she's joining us live on the radio here. She's a syndicated columnist and author, international speaker, and her ministry has spanned all major denominations, all Canadian provinces, and many of the United States. As a speaker trainer, she shares how to speak effectively for God. And to learn more about her, you can visit her blog at christianwomensspeaker.wordpress.com. And that does have two S's in the middle there, christianwomensspeaker.wordpress.com. Sheila, welcome to you.
Thank you so much, Marnie. I'm so glad to be here today.
Well, I have been admiring you from a distance for a long time. The web is a wonderful thing. We can stalk people and they never even know.
I know.
But you do a very good work working with speakers who want to do a better job at presenting what God has laid on their heart, as well as getting bookings, as well as learning the ropes of it, the technical side of it, and that's what your main ministry is with speakers. And I'm so grateful that you're here today with us, and you're going to be sharing actually 9 great tips to help speakers get more bookings. And this is the time of year that speakers are thinking about bookings, because this is the time of year that a lot of event planners are starting to kind of bring their head out of the summer haze and say, oh my goodness, fall is upon me. I've got to get some speakers lined up. So we're seeing a lot of increased action over at womenspeakers.com, with more event planners planning right now for fall and even well into 2013 and beyond. So why don't you just give us a little background, Sheila? When was the first time you spoke publicly, and what brought that about?
Okay, well, that was back in 2003, and I had just come out with my first book, To Love, Honor, and Vacuum, When You Feel More Like a Maid Than a Wife and a Mother, and I was fairly young. I was 32 years old, and I looked young. I'm really blessed. I'm one of those people that always looks about 5 years younger than I actually am, which is a nice problem to have on a personal level, but on a professional level, it can be hard when you look young because you don't have a lot of gravitas, right? So I was asked to come and share my testimony at a Christian women's club in my area. That's Stonecroft. Many of us know the Stonecroft Ministries. And that was really the first time that I had spoken in a Christian setting. And it was a lot of fun. There was about 200 women there. Most of them were a lot older than me, but the feedback that I got was great. And so it kind of made me think that maybe I'm not just a writer. Maybe I can be a speaker too.
Oh, that's awesome. And from there, you did that kind of light a little fire in you then?
It did. And I think the other thing that happened was people started asking me to speak at their church, because one of the neat things about Stonecroft is that it is a meeting of Christian women from a community, not just from one church. And so you could have 10 or 12 churches represented in the audience. So if you speak there, you can then get asked to speak at other churches. And everything kind of grew from there. I didn't actually do a lot of marketing early on. I'm doing more marketing now than I did back then, because it all just grew from word of mouth.
Wow. Well, that's so cool. And that's really a good input, too, guys. If you don't know about Stonecroft, they have several different things going on. But in order to speak at one of their events, you actually have to register with Stonecroft and become a Stonecroft recognized speaker. And you would go ahead and look up their website, Stonecroft, I think it's .org.
You have to write out your whole testimony and what you're going to say word for word and everything. So it is quite an ordeal. But if you're just starting, it's a great gateway in.
Right. And it might be StonecroftMinistries.org, too. I'm not sure. But anyway, you'll find it if you do a Google search for Stonecroft Ministries. The other thing is that if you have a registration, a listing over at WomenSpeakers.com, we actually let you note that on your profile if you have gone through that process with Stonecroft so that the Stonecroft planners can identify you as one of the speakers that they can invite to their Stonecroft events. Well, this hour is going to fly by. I know we have a lot of great stuff to cover, so I want to just dive right in here. And I love your first point. And by the way, if you don't have the notes, they're over on MarnieSFriends.com if you're listening live. Otherwise, LeadershipAttitudes.com if you're listening to the archives. The first one is the key ingredient to getting booked to speak in churches. And I'm dying to hear what you have to say.
it really is word of mouth. It is absolutely word of mouth. It is word of mouth beyond anything else. I really think that people put way too much emphasis on marketing materials and things when they're just starting. Like you got to think like an organizer. Like anything that you're trying to sell, you have to think like the customer who's going to buy it. And if you're an organizer, you tend not to be a speaker yourself. Right, you've probably been pushed into this role by your church because somebody has to do it, so you've taken over. You're scared that you're going to do a bad job, and you have this women's retreat or women's outreach to plan, and you're petrified that people aren't going to show up and that it's going to be a big failure. And so what you really want is a guarantee that at least women are going to have fun. And so what you're going to do is you're going to talk to all your friends and say, I really need a speaker. Has anyone ever heard anyone who's funny or who's a lot of fun or who's great? And you're going to go with what your friends say. You're not going to just sit down at the web and just look in general. So we need word of mouth.
Yeah, I can't agree with that more. That is just so true. Word of mouth is always going to be any event planner's number one. Either word of mouth or that she heard you herself.
No, that's definitely true.
If she didn't hear you herself, then she is going to go with who she knows, which is another reason why if you have a website or like at your womenspeakers.com profile, you want to include references. The more references you have, the better because, okay, now she doesn't have anybody. And this is really the main time. I mean, we have planners that just use womenspeakers.com all the time. That's just their norm. But most of the time when people come to our site, it's because they ran out. They ran out of people that knew friends of friends that could speak. And they come over. Now they're looking for somebody for this Christmas or for this fall retreat. And they have to find somebody. And if one of your references is someone they already know, well, that's the best. If the reference is somebody from a church that they know about, that's great too. You know, you have all these connection points, but of course, anything that you have in common with that person would make it so much better, so much stronger.
Exactly. And I was at a writer's conference recently, and I was speaking and teaching about speaking, and one woman came up to me, and she really wants to get into speaking, and she showed me this one sheet that she had created. And for those of you who don't know, a one sheet is an 8.5 by 11 piece of paper, color, with graphics, with pictures. It's supposed to look really nice, and it's supposed to describe who you are. And she had obviously put a lot of money into this, and there was a huge spelling mistake in the top. She did your. It was supposed to be YOU'RE, and she had done YOUR. And, you know, that's the kind of thing that I look at it and I think, oh, you just wasted $1,000. Because people are going to look at that, and that's the impression they're going to get of you. So I always say to women, you know, before you spend a ton of money, think it really is better to invest in word of mouth than to put money into something like that, especially if it's going to be spelled wrong. So just get someone to proofread it.
Yeah. Let's talk about a speaker who's really very new. And I guess what we're going to start, actually, let's wait and let's do this on number five. We're going to talk about where the brand new speaker can start to get some word of mouth. Because that's kind of like everywhere a young person goes to apply, they say, come back when you have experience. And they're like, but I have to get experience to have experience. And I know that some of the speakers are like, well, I don't know where to start getting that word of mouth. But we're going to address that after a little bit. But it really is the key to getting into churches. And, of course, what's the unspoken part here is that when you ever do get a chance to speak, even if it's a very short presentation, is to really do a good job.
Exactly.
So that those who hear you will want to invite you. I mean, that's kind of the unspoken part of it there.
Exactly. So, if you are a young speaker, what I often recommend is think about your first year in speaking like you're investing in yourself. When we go to university or college, we're spending a lot of money for a four-year degree, and we're spending a lot of time for that degree. I think speaking is very similar. You need to put the time in, and it is going to cost you something in the beginning, but that is going to give you some payoff at the end. And so don't expect to make a ton of money overnight, and don't expect to have huge audiences overnight either. But what you can do is you can be strategic at the beginning. And I've talked to a lot of women, and I've just said, you know what, just speak for free. Speak for free for a year. Because if you do that, you might be speaking to 10 people at a library luncheon, or you might be speaking to 15 people in a church basement at a women's Bible study. But the more you speak, especially if you give the same talk multiple times so you get really good at it, you're going to get the word of mouth out there, but you're also going to be developing your own speaking and get some confidence.
Yeah, and the other thing is, you never know who's going to be in one of those audiences. That's just something that's critically important when you're speaking to 5 or to 50, to just recognize that you are speaking to every person who's there.
and
it's a number.
And we haven't failed. You know, if when you're in that building phase, it is perfectly okay to speak to smaller audiences. And in fact, a lot of people find that easier. I remember I was once asked to submit a CD of myself speaking in order to get hired by a big church, and I didn't have one. I had never done a recording. And so I asked 10 friends to come sit in a church basement, because it had to be a CD in front of a live audience, so that I could give a talk. And it actually went pretty well. But I learned a lot, too, just sitting in front of a live audience and being recorded. You end up doing a better job, and you sound more professional. So, you know, get out there and get that practice, because it will make you better. And if you start too big, this is another problem. If you advertise yourself widely and you start too big and you get an engagement with, you know, 250 women at one of the biggest churches in your area, and you don't do a stellar job, you've then killed your word of mouth. So it's better to start small and get that practice and get that confidence so that you do know how to deliver the message that God's given you in a powerful way.
Wow, that's so great. And I love your creativity and tenacity to pull 10 friends together and get that recording. Good for you. That's just awesome. That's just awesome. Okay, well, let's go ahead and talk about the number one mistake that most speakers make.
Okay, number one is that you do not follow up with the people that you have spoken with. And this is difficult because we're not used to doing it. If you go and you speak to that audience of 10 at the library, and you said a minute ago, Marnie, you never know who's in the audience. Well, that's so true, because let's say that you do an amazing job, and let's say that the people go away and they're thinking about the things you said for the next few weeks, and they're mulling it over, and it's really impacted them. And then 6 months down the road, they're having lunch with their best friend who lives in another city, and she mentions that she is looking for a speaker for her church. And they remember you, but the only problem is they can't remember your name. They remember your face, they remember what you said, but they can't remember your name, and so that's too bad. And you never get that reference. But if they have a way of keeping in touch with you, and more importantly, if you have a way of keeping in touch with them, it is far easier for them to recommend you. So I think the biggest thing that speakers need to do from the very beginning, and this is new because of the internet, I mean, this is new, this wasn't true 10 years ago, but is start developing your list. Start developing an email list, a newsletter list, a Facebook page from the very beginning so that you can engage with people who have already heard you speak.
Yeah, and I know when you're talking about like social networking events, when you go to an event where people expect you to follow up, they expect you to follow up within 24 to 48 hours. It's really fast. And if you're a speaker and you've gotten names and email addresses at an event, maybe people signed up for something or whatever, the faster you can get back with them, the more likely it is that they will notice and remember and open your email and all of that. Because life is just busy, and they get back into the hubbub, and you're a distant thought very quickly.
That's right. And so when you're speaking, let's say that you're speaking to moms. So you're a mom speaker. You speak about just parenting issues, life issues with kids, with marriage, et cetera. And you've had a great talk to 20 moms from a MOPS group at a church, and you've collected their email addresses. So now you have 20 people that you can send a newsletter to. Here's the key thing about following up with people with a newsletter. Make the newsletter something which is interesting to read. Don't think of it as something which is advertising you, because who really wants to read an advertisement? I don't want to read an advertisement. I think reading advertisements is horrible. But if someone sends me an email with, here's a really neat parenting article I read, oh, and by the way, here is the funniest video I have ever seen of babies giggling, and here's another really funny video on YouTube of a Christian comedian talking about little boys. Oh, and here's this devotional for you moms who are feeling really tired. It doesn't even have to be written. Like, all of those things don't need to be written by you or produced by you. You could just simply be someone who collects content and says, I know that you're tired. I know what you're thinking about as a parent. Here's some stuff you might find useful. And then people are going to open your newsletter. They're going to remember your name. They're going to see the kinds of things you speak about. So make sure that it's something which is interesting to read, not just something which is, you know, Sheila is speaking here next month, and she's speaking here the month before, and here's all these wonderful things people said about her, and isn't that great? Because no one's going to read that.
I think that you need to think about, when you're designing a response like a newsletter or whatever, think about what you open up every month. What are the newsletters or the e-zines or whatever that you actually open up every month, every week, whenever they come? And that's something that you find interesting, and model yours after the ones that you love, because they're doing something right if you love them.
Exactly. So certainly include where you're speaking, but just don't only include that. Include stuff that you find interesting too.
Yeah. For sure. Now, when we're talking about follow-up, and we've actually got this for numbers two and number three too, the golden key of follow-up, when we're talking about follow-up, how is your favorite way to get email addresses at live events?
So here's what I was going to say for number three. I do a draw. I put ballots on the seats if the event organizer will let me. Always check, by the way, because, for instance, Stonecroft doesn't let you do that. Some other places may not be comfortable with it. But if they do, put ballots on the seats or around the tables and ask them to fill it out. And then sometime during the event, you do a draw for a prize. It could be a book you've written, CDs of you speaking. If you don't have product, you can even just make a gift basket. Let's say that you're speaking about finding peace in the storm. You know, create a gift basket with bubble bath and with some chocolate and with some moisturizing cream, or just things that are relaxing. It doesn't have to cost very much. You can just make it look pretty. But people love getting prizes. So collect people's email addresses and do a little contest, and now you have their address to send a newsletter. What I always do, just to make it totally above board, is I ask for their name and for their email address, and then I put the names of my different newsletters, because I have a few different ones, and I just say, please check them off if you would like to receive them. And the vast majority of people do check them off, but if they don't check them off, I don't keep their email address. I'm not going to send spam to people. But you certainly are free to ask.
Yeah, that's great. That's an awesome way. Another way is just to have a sign-up sheet at the back table, but that's less effective, of course, than having
Yes,
them right
I've done that too,
awesome.
And I find the response with a sign-up sheet is probably about like 8 to 10%, but when you have ballots, you're looking at closer to 60 to 70%.
Yeah, that's awesome. A final thought that I have about collecting email addresses is that you can offer a free something if they go to your site and enter their email address. But again, you're letting them get out of your site before they do that. So the best way is, if you can, catch it right when you're there. So that's a great tip. Okay, we're going to take a little break and come back and talk about rules of engagement. We will be right back. The fastest and easiest way to find out which major women's events are coming to your area is to visit www.womensevents.info. That's womensevents.info.
www.info. It's the only directory of its kind, and it features all of the major events like Women of Faith, Beth Moore, eConference Women, and so many others. It's free to search, and you can find it all at womensevents.info.
Ever need speakers for dinners, retreats, conferences, or other women's events? Check out www.womenspeakers.com. It's the largest online directory of Christian women speakers in the world, featuring over 1,500 Christian women speakers, some near you, and some from every level of experience and fee range you can imagine. So you're sure to find lots of great speaker options for you and your next event over at www.womenspeakers.com. That's womenspeakers.com. Well, hi, this is Marty. It seems like we have a little bit of a technical something going on here with both Sheila's line and our music here. Hopefully mine is, I can't hear what mine sounds like, so hopefully that's going okay. But thank you for joining us, and hopefully everybody can hear us well enough to get the information that we're trying to share today about speakers, how to get more bookings. Our guest today is Sheila Ray Gregoire, and her website is christianwomensspeaker.wordpress.com. That's her blog, and you can find out more about her over there. Sheila, before the break, we were talking about how to get email addresses from people so that you can follow up. But let's real quick, before we move on, let's go back and catch up. If you get the email address of people in your audiences, the obvious thing to do is add them to your newsletter. Do you do anything else beyond that?
I send them an email right away because my newsletter, I try to only bother people about once a month. I don't send things constantly because, well, there's two reasons. One, I just do not have the time to put a newsletter together that frequently. And the other is that you really can start to bother people so that they don't like you that much. But I do tend to send a follow-up right away. As soon as they are entered, they get a standard hello, I was so happy to meet you, and here's the different ways that we can connect. And I find that a lot of people from that will come over to my Facebook page as well, or my blog, which is really where I want to have the primary interaction with them. A newsletter is great because you can send it out to people that you just met, but you're really going to get to know people if they join your blog or your Facebook page. So that initial email will then encourage people to go click on the link. It isn't really enough just to tell people what your Facebook page is, because if they're not sitting at a computer, they're unlikely to look for it. But if they get an email, then they'll just click on the link.
That's so true. Got to make it easy. Don't make me think. That's the
yes, exactly.
All right. Number four, rules of engagement. Multiplication now. These are the rules of multiplying your engagements, how to turn one engagement into 20. So what are your thoughts there?
Okay, we've already talked about one of the most important things, which is getting an email newsletter going. But the other thing, and this will touch on what you said earlier, is get those testimonials. Every time you speak, if somebody emails you and says, that was just so wonderful, you really touched me, email them back and ask if you can add that to your testimony page on your website. I even sometimes walk around with a video camera, and I will go up to people, and I will ask them what they thought of tonight, and if they'll say it into the video camera, that's great, and then I'll put a quick video up on my website. So just collect those testimonials, because as you talk and as you get these emails, you then have a relationship with all of these people, and you have authority because of that, and then you can start following up. Now, for instance, one thing I did with one of the first churches that I spoke with many years ago was I spoke on a parenting topic, but then I emailed them a year later and I said, I have a new talk out that's on this. Would you like me to come and speak for you? And so they hired me back, but they didn't just hire me. They sent me on a tour of all the other Christian Reformed churches in the area. So it is really important to keep in contact with the people who have already liked you. It is so much easier to get people who already like you to bring you back or to refer you than it is to try to get new engagements. And I think often what we do is we'll speak at a church and then we'll sort of wipe that church off our list because we've already done that. And it's far better to cultivate the relationship with those women's ministry leaders because they're always going to have more engagements, but they also know other people and they're passionate about you now.
Right. And I just want to encourage you, too. A lot of times churches don't bring back the same speaker again. Many churches have kind of rules about that, kind of unwritten rules or whatever. But they all planners know other planners. And all
That's
people
right.
in their church know people in other churches. And so it just to not just write it off, like you said, don't just write it off, but continue the relationship. That's so awesome. Good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And I was often assuming that they would never hire the same person twice, but it's amazing how many churches I've actually spoken at two or three times. So not everybody has that rule. Yeah.
Yeah. That's great. I was amused one time. Somebody very close to me had said she. I asked if she was going to go to the women's retreat at her church, and she said, no, I'm not. And I said, why not? You always go every year. And she said, well, they're having the same speaker back. And I said, the one from last year? And she said, yeah. And I said, but you really liked her. And she said, yeah, but I've already heard her. And I was like, wow, you didn't think she had anything more to say? Because, you know, most speakers have many, many topics or directions that they can go. And when you like a speaker, bringing them back is a great idea, not a bad idea. So it surprised me, but I understood a little bit more why some people don't bring one back if people have that attitude. But it's true that speakers, usually when you get a good speaker, she's going to be good for you for many different topics and many different times. So that's so great. And a little balance there. Good. Okay. Well, let's talk about the best place for a new speaker to start.
Remember that the key is word of mouth. If you want to generate word of mouth, then you need to go places where you can generate the most word of mouth. So if you're starting, let's just think about this strategically. If you speak at a church, let's say there's an outreach event, a dinner event or whatever, and there's 80 women there, that's wonderful. That's going to give you some practice. That's going to give you confidence, and that's great. But all of those 80 women already go to the same church. Now, they may know people in other churches, but they're unlikely to sit on women's committees who are able to hire you. So it's better to try to speak at places where there are people from different churches there. So one of the things that I did early in my speaking career was I started to speak at conferences. I would ask not to do the keynote because I wasn't big enough then, but I would figure out workshops. And so I would email a conference organizer, and I would say, I see that you have a conference coming up next year. I am available to do these four different workshops. If one of these appeals to you, let me know. And I always gave three or four options. And I would give the title, an interesting title, and a three or four sentence explanation. And that really worked well. Because when you do speak at workshops, let's say it's the Salvation Army geographical, like Eastern Ontario retreat, or it's the Christian Reformed retreat for all of the Northeast in the United States. You'll get people from all kinds of churches there, and it's a great way to get known.
That's an awesome idea. And the key there is not to go for the keynote when you're just starting, but to go for the workshops. And typically, like some of these conferences, they may even have easily 20, sometimes over 100 workshops.
That's right.
Need a lot of speakers.
Yeah. And there is a difference between a workshop and a keynote. So you need to think about it slightly differently. A workshop is supposed to be hands-on and practical. It should actually teach a skill, whereas a keynote address is supposed to inspire you to go deeper with God. So I'm not saying a workshop can't go deeper with God, but it's the difference between doing a talk on how to let go and trust God and doing a workshop on 10 ways to help your kids listen to you more or something. Like, you need to think in terms of something that's really practical.
Yeah. And that's the same difference between a keynote and like a teleconference. If you're asked to speak at something like an online teleconference, you want to have very practical things that people can apply right away. They usually are not going to sit through a teleconference for motivation or inspiration as much as they are going to do that for practical hands-on information, kind of more like what you're sharing with us today, Sheila.
Let me just add, so the best thing to do is to go onto the web and Google, think of all the different denominations that you can think of, all the different church denominations, and see where their conferences are that are close to you, because chances are someone has a regional conference. But don't just think about denominations. There's also, there's homeschooling conferences, there's parenting conferences, There's big marriage conferences. There's all kinds of conferences like that, too. So just think of any kind of conference that could possibly be close to you, and take a look at that, because I really have found that an invaluable way to get my name out there.
Yeah, that's awesome. Another thing to do is just to be willing when you're starting out to be willing to speak for free. And I know that nobody likes to hear that, but the bottom line is it is the best way to get in there, because there's a lot of groups that simply don't have a budget. They do not have a budget to bring in a speaker. And then there are groups that do have a budget, but by the time you get there, you're competing for that budget with several other speakers who have probably a lot more experience than you. So when you're starting out, it's a great time to go ahead and practice and to be available to people who have no budget.
That's right. And this is maybe what we were going to bring up in the next point, but one of the things I was going to say in terms of the best place for a new speaker to start is and how to be strategic is when you are doing those free engagements, don't think of it as just that engagement. If you have to speak at a women's Bible study when they're launching in September, and by the way, now is a great time to contact women's groups and churches.
Yeah.
If they have a women's Bible study that meets every Thursday morning, for instance, and there's 60 women at this thing, chances are they would love to have a speaker for the first 25 minutes to kick off their year. Especially if they don't have to pay you. So now's a great time to contact them about that. But when you do that, here's what you can do too. If you record yourself, if you get an audio recording of yourself, or if you have someone take a video recording of you, you can turn that into like a 3 or 4 minute clip that you can put up on YouTube or that you can put on your website, and you now have some authority. Because most people, when they're looking to hire a speaker, they want to know what that speaker sounds like or looks like before they hire them. So if you have a video clip, it goes so far in helping people make that decision. And even if you don't have a video, you can have a video clip. Like if you take audio of yourself, and you can record yourself even using an iPod, if you take audio of yourself, you can create a video just using still photographs with that audio in the background, and then at least people can hear your voice, they can hear your passion, they can hear some of your cute little funny lines or whatever it might be. So yes, you may be doing it for free, but it can turn into something that's advertising and marketing for you that you can use.
Oh, that's great. That's great. Now, are we talking about number six here now, how to be strategic in the speaking?
Yeah, that was sort of what some of the things that I was thinking about. But you know, another way to be strategic is really to think where is the best place for me to get known? I mean, you don't want let's say that you really, really want to speak to seniors groups, for instance. That's really where you feel passionate. So you need to think, where is it that seniors hang out? And just start thinking about your niche or your niche, however you want to say that. Where do these people hang out? Because I think often we get caught up in only thinking about the church, and there are places to speak outside of the church. There's sororities, there are health clubs, there are libraries, there's Kiwanis clubs, there's Rotary clubs. All of these places are always looking for speakers. And when I was starting out, I actually did quite a few engagements outside of the church, but it still gave me experience and it got my name out there. So don't limit yourself to just the church, but at the same time also don't limit yourself to your topic. I mean, I have a lot of people who email me and say, I really feel called to speak to the disabled people, and so I want to speak to Christian disabled people. And I completely understand that. I think that's a wonderful calling, but it's very difficult to get hired to do that in a church setting because there just aren't that many disabled people who are going to be getting together all at one time. So don't limit yourself either. When you're going to be strategic, think to yourself, I may have this unique story about overcoming a disability or this unique story about overcoming an eating disorder, but don't think of it as only pertaining to eating disorders or only pertaining to disabilities. All of us have amazing stories of what God has done in our lives. All of us have had struggles. My son died 16 years ago, and that's one of the things that I talk about so much is overcoming grief. But we all have different kinds of grief. It's not like I can only talk to people whose children have died. I've arranged my talk so that when I speak about loss, everyone who has experienced a loss of whatever sort can relate to me. So when you're trying to think of where I want to speak, don't limit yourself to the church, but also within the church, don't limit yourself to just your own particular interest. Because usually we can take the theme of what we're doing, of what we're dealing with, and we can see how does that theme relate to everybody and not just people in my particular circumstance.
I think maybe for somebody listening to you say that, they may think, I don't think I could do that. But I was just myself learning a new skill this week, and it's like I was thinking at the beginning of the week, I don't think I can do that. But now on Thursday, I think maybe I can do that. And I've just been working at it all week. And, you know, sometimes these are skill sets that you just have to learn how to do, have to learn how to think about it. And one of the things to do is to watch people who are able to speak about one thing, but to address it from multiple different angles.
Mm-hmm.
And there's lots of people out there that are able to do that. One of the best maybe practice runs for that is to just watch the newspaper, the evening news, and to say, okay, I am an expert in blank, or my topic is blank. How could I fit this news story in? Or how could the anchor or the news reporter who's doing this story actually come to me for a quote? What could I say from my specialty that might have any bearing on this story? And it makes you think outside the box a little bit and think about, you know, the real value of your story, of your message for everybody, that it, not obviously every last story can fit, but there's so many things. If you just look at one a day, just find one a day, a story that you could have something that you could say to it, one sentence that you could say to that story, it'll just help expand your thinking. Cool.
Yeah. And
go ahead.
Oh, and one of the things that I often do when I brainstorm with speakers about how they can figure out what the main theme is of their message, because if you can figure out your theme, you can see how it's not about an eating disorder. It is about learning to surrender to God, or learning to trust God more, or learning not to be in control, or whatever it might be. But you see that theme, learning not to be in control. Okay, does that relate to anorexia? Yes, it does. But who else does that relate to?
Yeah,
okay, well, it also
right.
relates to a woman who has a non-Christian husband, and she's wanting desperately for him to become a Christian, and she's doing everything she can, but nothing's working. You know, it also relates to a woman who has 5 kids under the age of 10, and she's petrified one of them is going to get hurt, or one of them is going to die or something, and so she's over-controlling. Like, it relates to all kinds of people in all kinds of different circumstances. So instead of starting with your experience, ask yourself, if this is the theme of my life that God has given me, you know, learning not to be in control, what other people, how does that intersect with other people's lives? And then start, when you're planning your talk, start bringing some of those elements out so that it's not only about your story, it's also about how other people have awful things that they've also experienced and dealt with.
That's great. I wanted to ask if you had any other thoughts about, before we leave the topic of being strategic in our speaking.
I think just the main thing to remember over and over again is that if you're trying to generate word of mouth, make sure that you're speaking to people in as wide a variety of places as possible. So don't confine yourself to one denomination. Don't confine yourself to one age group. Just try to hit different churches of all different kinds, and try to hit libraries or whatever it might be, so that you have a bigger chance of generating that word of mouth in a wider circle.
Sheila, if you were approached by an event planner, and let's say you weren't really clear about what they would want from a speaker, but you knew that they were an event planner. That's all you knew. All you knew was that they might be in a position to hire a speaker someday. What mm-hmm. would you personally say to that event planner?
Well,
given just a few seconds.
Okay, assuming they're asking me something, because I love asking questions. People love to talk. And so if you can ask them questions, that could be really helpful. So if they're an event planner, and just say, that is so exciting. Tell me about some of the things that you do. Tell me about one of the best speakers that you've had. You know, tell me about one of the best events you've ever done. And so as they start to speak, you can then see how you might fit in a little bit, and then you can share some of your experiences too. But I always think that when you ask questions, you show that you have an understanding of their business as well, and you're not just trying to sell yourself, and you also show that you are interested in making sure that this is a good fit.
Mm. So excellent. That's great. Well, we're talking today with Sheila Ray Gregoire, and she's from ChristianWomen'sSpeaker.wordpress.com. We're going to come right back and learn a little bit more about how speakers can get more bookings. We'll be right back. Successfully maximizing the gifts God has given us is the best gift that we can give back to God. Are you 100% clear about why you're here, about how God defines success for you personally? Are you on track with God's plan for your life, the best life on planet Earth followed by the best possible eternity for you? If not, check out the Success Principles Intensive Training course over at Marnie.com. It's a 6-hour online program that will change how you define and do your life from today forward. It's a biblically based approach to goal setting and achievement. So check it out under the training tab at Marnie.com. This is Marnie, and if you're listening live to us today, that particular training is on sale right now, 90% off through July 31st. If you have ever wanted to take the Success Principles Coaching Certification Program, now is the best time ever to do that. So it's over at Marnie.com under the training tab, Success Principles Coaching. Our guest today is Sheila Ray Gregoire, and she is an author, a speaker, a columnist, and she's a trainer of speakers. Her blog is at ChristianWomen'sSpeaker.wordpress.com. She's here today sharing some of her best tips for getting more bookings. And we had a great hour. If you're just joining us now, you want to go back and catch the first part of this hour. Don't miss a thing. But right now, we are going to talk about marketing budgets just a little bit. Sheila, when you were starting out, did you have a budget at all?
I didn't, and I made such huge mistakes. One of the things I did too early was I created a one sheet that we were talking about earlier in the hour.
Yeah.
I created one. I spent $1,000 printing off 1,000 copies of it, and it wasn't really necessary at that point in time because people were contacting me anyway just using my business cards, and I didn't have a very good photograph. I didn't make it as good as it could be, and I ended up not even giving out probably 3/4 of them because I outgrew it. So, but everybody was telling me that you have to do this. You have to have a one sheet. No, you don't. What you have to do is, I believe, at this point, have a web presence. You absolutely need a website. I think that is what is indispensable today, because we've been talking about word of mouth, word of mouth, word of mouth, word of mouth, and that is important, but think about how that's going to work. So an event planner hears your name. Someone says, oh, I heard her last year. She was just incredible. What's the first thing that person's going to do? That event planner is going to sit down at their computer and they're going to Google you. And if nothing shows up, they are not going to pursue it. They're going to move on to the next person. So you absolutely must have a website. I think that's the most important thing. But if you're going to figure out how much you're going to spend on marketing, you need to sit down and don't just keep creating a website because Sheila told you you need a website, and then getting a one sheet because you read a book that said you need a one sheet, and getting a video made because you heard you need a video made. Pretty soon you've spent $5,000. So yeah. You need to sit down and figure out how much money do I have to invest. Talk to your husband about it if you're married. Talk to an accountant about it. Talk to a friend about it. Pray over it. But make sure that you have a number in mind because it is really easy to exceed that amount of money. And it's also really easy not to spend anything at all because you're trying to be too frugal, and that's not a good idea either.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think everybody's marketing budget will be different. It's kind of going to be different whether you're going to do this on the side or whether you're going into this as a full-time career. And that's going to make a big difference for you. A lot of people, if they're going into it for a career, they'll actually find someone who will book engagements for them. to work with, because this is a lot of work to
book
yourself full. I mean, it's one thing if you just want to have an occasional speaking engagement or one here and one there. It's a whole other thing if you're trying to book yourself solid. And between the travel and the paperwork of it, the communication back and forth with people, as well as the preparation, and then just trying to maintain a website and all these other things, that it can be very time consuming. So
I find that communication so tiring. Like, I really do. I find the majority of my time is taken up just with emails with speaker planners, and it does get tiring. It really does.
It's not really the thing that you think about in advance, that for every speech that you give, for every speaking engagement that you book, you're going to have multiple. And I can't remember now, you know, I a lot of times, I don't know if your email does this, but for my Gmail account, it keeps track of how many emails back and forth on the one conversation.
Yeah.
And I know sometimes we can exceed 30, 40 for one engagement. You know, that's not uncommon. And even just for a radio booking like this, Sheila, you were wonderfully easy. But sometimes, you know, we exceed 15, 20 just for a one-hour booking with a speaker or a guest expert, depending on how much information they need. And that's what, even though we have a very streamlined system. So it gets to be a lot. And if you're not prepared for that, you're going to have to hire some help. And so you have to think about that, too. Marketing budgets also. Have you ever hired somebody to actually pitch your services?
I have. And actually, I'm looking for someone else right now, so maybe we should talk. But no, because I tend to hire people for specific jobs. So I've hired someone to help me with my web work, with my blog, and I'm also hiring a booking agent. And all of that, it really does come down to knowing how much money you're prepared to spend and making sure that you have the money to cover it. Because there have been a few years where I have spent more on marketing than I've made. And that was an investment that was necessary, but it was a decision that I made first of all. When you don't make that decision and then you go to do your taxes at the end of the year and you find out you didn't actually make anything, that's depressing and you don't want to be in that position.
Right.
But I'll tell
and
you
I know
the one
for a
thing.
Lot of...
Oh, I was just going to say, the one thing that I wish I had spent money on earlier and the one thing that I do not think you can scrimp on that is absolutely crucial is a good photograph. People need a good photograph. I'm in the middle of getting a new one. I get new ones almost every 6 months now, it seems. But you need a professional photograph, because I did not have one for a few years, and it makes you look like you're not professional. So do not scrimp on the photograph.
Yeah. And I know for us, too, we put the marketing budget is including a website as well as like a photograph and, you know, business cards and all that kind of stuff. The website, you really have got to have one. I can't tell you how many times, especially I've planned a lot of events, too, but I haven't found this so much with speakers, but with people who have written books. A lot of times, like, I will want to have somebody like that on my radio show as an expert on the topic that they wrote about. They wrote this wonderful book, and I go to find them, and I can't find them anywhere. They don't have a web presence. They wrote a book, and they didn't build a website. And you guys, you can go over to WordPress.com, and you can start a new website today for free. You get like $15,000 worth of free web programming, all the bells and whistles you could ever imagine for free. Mm-hmm. Or maybe, like, if you want to add audio, you have to add $5 every 6 months or something ridiculous like that. And you can do it yourself. You can build it today. And so there's really no excuse to not have a web presence. Just critically important. And we're going to talk about that a few more things in a minute here. But mostly for your marketing budget. How would you recommend that a person actually think about, like, a percentage? Do you do that?
I haven't done that, although I think that is a good idea. I'd actually be interested in seeing what you said about that. I've been working under the someone has lit a fire under me and I better do it as an emergency kind of thing, and I wouldn't recommend that. Most of the speaker training that I do is training for my own mistakes, because when I was starting out, I didn't have anybody to help me, and I didn't really know what I was doing. And so now that I am more successful, I'm better known, I have a huge book out with Zondervan and things like that, now I'm starting to put some real money into it. But it's hard, Marnie. It is difficult to put real money into something. especially, and I think a lot of women listening will be in this situation where you're not the main breadwinner, because I'm not. My husband has a very good job. And I feel like if I spend money on myself and on my speaking, then I'm taking it away from the family, and I'm being selfish, and I'm being proud, thinking that God's actually going to take me somewhere. And it's scary. It is a really scary feeling to write that check. But so I think it all comes back to praying about it, making sure this is what God has called you to do. And if He has, then you better walk out in faith and you better do something about it. Don't wait for someone to call you. If He has called you, if God has called you, then He wants you to equip yourself. He wants you to get your name out there. And so don't be afraid to spend some money, but just make sure you talk to your husband about it.
Right. And I think you just, one of the things, I'm going to have Cecil Murphy on in a couple weeks here, and I'm so excited to have him on the show, because he co-authored the book 90 Minutes in Heaven, and he's written over 100 other books about dealing with the hard things in life. But one of the things he says is, when things get challenging, that's great, because that really forces us to go back and say, do I really value this? How much do I value this? How much am I willing to invest into this? And sometimes you're investing your dollars into a place that isn't doing a payback, but at other times this is where you need to be in order to go forward, and it is asking God about it. I know in our brick and mortars, the percent that they tell people to do in marketing is 3-5%, but that's when you have the overhead of a building and a staff, like that, and product that you're buying. For speakers, that's going to be way up to even 20%.
Yes, I was thinking about marketing. 25, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, so you just want to be careful not to be spending more than you're bringing in, but at the same time you've got to spend some in order to get some back. Unless, it's possible that you don't have to, that there are situations where you wouldn't have to spend any. But most of the speakers that are out there, I guess I look at Pam Farrell. I think about her a lot. They've got over 30 books that they've written. They travel and speak all the time. And she is one of the hardest workers that I've ever met. She just works hard all the time.
I love her because she wrote my foreword.
Oh, she's just a sweetheart. And she is such a hard worker. And she's just such a good example of someone who just doesn't just sit back and wait for things to flow to her. She just says, this is what I was created to do. This is what I get up every day and I do. I go be the best me, the best Pam I can be. And wow, aren't we all grateful that she does?
Yeah.
She's an awesome, awesome woman of God. Well, let's go ahead and talk about the book, because you've mentioned a book. I've got some books. Pam's got some books. Cecil has some books. But do you actually need a book to get hired as a speaker?
I don't think you do at the beginning. But at some point, you're going to want one or something like it. Because I'll tell you, the majority of the money that I make right now is in product sales. It is not in speaking. I earn a good fee when I speak, but nevertheless, I usually get about 2-3 times my speaking fee in product sales. And so you do want to have some product. But you should never rush and get a book just because you think you need a book. A DVD can sell well. A CD series can sell well. A workbook binder can sell well. If you are not a book person, many speakers cannot write. Writing is not their forte. And to hire a ghostwriter can cost up to $10,000 or more. So if a book is not your thing, you don't necessarily need a book, but you should have some product at some point.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great tip. And you absolutely do not need a book to get speaking engagements, especially at the local level. You simply don't. That's just not true. But I agree with you that what you said is true, that after a bit, you're going to want to develop some materials. And one of the very best ways, if you don't know how to begin, is to just record. Like if you end up doing like a 3-4 session retreat or conference, record that and then go ahead and have that transposed and then begin to polish that up. And you'll see that there's actually some really great stuff there. And you don't write the same way you speak. And so there has to be a lot of polishing going on. You have to make it even tighter, and also because of the lack of body language and voice inflection and eyes twinkling or laughter going on in the room. I mean, you do have to do things differently when you're writing than when you're speaking, but it's a good place to start, and you may be able to see some hope there that where you weren't sure that there was any hope. Let's go ahead and then conclude here with the internet and its effect on business and ministry. What is your number one favorite online thing to do to increase bookings?
I blog. I'm a big blogger, and that's probably because I'm a writer. I know that can be difficult for speakers who aren't also writers, but I blog every day, and I don't find it difficult. So my blog posts are often 1,000 words, 1,200 words, and I can crank one out in 20 minutes pretty easily. Most people can't do that, and so that isn't necessarily the route that everybody should take. But because of my blog, I can then update Twitter, I can update Facebook, it's all integrated and I can send people to my blog. So I get about 300,000 visits a month on my blog, which is tolovehonorandvacuum.com. It's not the speaker's blog, it's my women's blog, tolovehonorandvacuum.com. And it's a lot of fun. But I'll tell you, when people read you on a regular basis, they develop a real relationship with you. And that is going to be something which isn't going to encourage bookings. And you also become known as an expert. My latest book, the one with Zondervan, is The Good Girl's Guide to Great Sex. So I've been writing a lot about marriage and sex recently. And if you Google Christian sex expert, apparently I'm really high up there now, which I'm not sure if I should be happy about that or not. But it's a strange thing. But, you know, you become known as an expert. And then when people are looking at your subject, you're going to come up. So I love blogging, but it isn't for everybody. And I'm quite, I really realize that. You can still have a great Facebook page just by doing quotations, little quick thoughts, interviewing people on your Facebook page, putting links to YouTube videos that are interesting, any of that. So you don't need to blog, but I really enjoy that.
That's great. That's great. And one of the things that I noticed that you do is you use Google Plus. When you like something, you plus it.
Yes. And because, and this is just part of the internet, and this is just part of the way that we have to get used to the world, but Google owns search engines. I mean, Google owns, I don't know what it is, over 90% of searches are done on Google. And when things are plussed on Google Plus, so if you have a Google Plus account and you plus your own articles, you hit the plus one button and submit those articles, they are going to come up higher in people's search engines. And if people search for something, your things that have been plussed will come up higher if they are also friends with you on Facebook and things like that. So it's just part of belonging to Google. Google has the market on this, so we don't want to ignore it.
Yeah, right. Okay, that is awesome. What is a final thought that you have for people and their internet life as relating to getting bookings?
One thing that I would say is you can't ignore it, but put a time limit on it. Here's something that I did. I got a kitchen timer, and I said, I am willing to spend 3 hours a day in marketing. And I do. I spend way more time marketing than I do writing. So 3 hours a day marketing. But I can't sit down and do 3 hours a day because the phone might ring or my kids might need me or something. So I just set the timer and I hit start and then I'll do something for 12 minutes and then I'll hit stop and then I'll keep going. And once it's at 3 hours, I stop. I don't make myself keep working. I say, yay, I get to go make dinner or read a book or do something else. But limit yourself. Don't let it take over your life. And for many people, 3 hours is too long. Maybe all you can devote is 1 hour. That's fine. But stick to that and don't let it take over your life, because it's really easy to feel like we're being productive because we're spending all day on Facebook. But that isn't necessarily productive. So you want to make sure that you're doing productive things and that you're really using your time well.
I am so glad that you had the opportunity to share that number, actually your three-hour number, because I think that probably just took the breath away of a lot of gals who are thinking, you know, that we're going to say, 15 minutes or 3 hours a week. And when you're looking to book yourself solid, it's just a lot of work. It's really a full-time job between everything. And if you look at it less than that, you're going to be disappointed and you're not going to be able to stay the course over the long haul, because it's a lot of travel. It's a lot of time preparing and working with planners. And it's a lot of time away from the other things you would be doing if you weren't speaking full-time. So I encourage all of you who are listening to adopt all of this that makes sense to you, whatever of it makes sense to you, to pursue it further over at Sheila's website, christianwomensspeaker.wordpress.com, and also to update your profile at womensspeakers.com right now, because planners are actually contacting and booking speakers for fall. So be sure to get that up to date. Sheila, thanks a million for being here.
It has been wonderful, Marnie. I've been so glad to share my thoughts with you.
Oh, well, I've just loved meeting you here today and getting to know you a bit, and we'll look forward to connecting with you again soon. Thanks for coming, everybody. You have a wonderful rest of the day. See you next time. Bye-bye.